Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6.
We'll continue Jesus' sermon. Now, if you remember, the thesis for this section was, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Last week we then looked at giving, particularly giving of alms, and what that means to give with proper motive. That in our giving, you know, cattle on a thousand hillsides, right? It's not so much the amount or those kind of things, but really the heart. Today we look at prayer, starting then at verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. With that, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you hear us, that you are with us. And Lord, as we consider these few verses of Jesus' teaching on prayer, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would shine the light of your word upon us and speak to us. Wherever we are, whatever we need, God, we come to you asking for you to work. Move us, Lord. Make us. Change us to be more and more like you in these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Prayer. Another act of righteousness. Now, when one thinks of prayer, I was looking at this week at some different things, and some good news in our country as we think about prayer. Over 80% of Americans pray, at least, you know, once a week. All right? So that's good news. You know, people do pray. Now, what they're praying about, that may be another question to look at, but prayer is part of most people's thinking anyway, in some way. Now, again, it may be, you know, a prayer just comes up when they see a truck barreling in on them that's going to hit them, or it may just come up when they're about to be ruined financially, or they're hoping to gain the favor of a young man or young woman, or who knows, but it's there. All right. In fact, across the board, across the world, I mean, prayer is part of any sort of religion and any kind of deity. It's expected, right? And it's just normal and should be normal. But Jesus, as he always does, shows us that, hey, this is a new kingdom. This is a new thing. And we want to pray in a way that is proper and normal and good. Another interesting statistic that I came across from Barna was that when people do pray, and again, very, very common, but over 82% or so pray silently and by themselves. And that is the modus operandi of prayer in America. Silently and by yourself. That's very American, right? The individual, the stone upon a hill, the rock, the I can do it myself. And we take that into our prayers. I think there's a problem there, maybe. So let's look at what Jesus tells us about prayer. He starts off in this section, says, when you pray, okay, just like last week, there's an assumption here. When you pray, not if, when. It's going to happen. It should happen. It must happen. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are wanting to identify yourself as His, if you are saved, however you want to put it, a Jesus follower is a prayer. You pray. That's what we do. If anyone wants to know, what is it to be a Christian? Well, part of it is praying. It's just normal. And then, in fact, you know, throughout Scripture, it talks about it a lot. I mean, I was looking at places like 1 Samuel 12. Samuel tells the people, it says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us,
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. In Matthew chapter 18, he tells the parable about the persistent widow, teaching us how to always pray and not lose heart. That's his teaching for us. Always pray. Never lose heart. Obligatory Romans 8 reference, 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We are praying, people. Colossians 1:9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul was a prayer. All of his letters, I love his prayers because he just seems to just spews out of them almost. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here's your memory verse of the week. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. To be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian, is to be a prayer. And so Jesus tells us, when you pray, when. So what do we do then? When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Okay, that is the instruction. We talked about what that is. Now, for me, again, I don't know how you guys are, but whenever I read things like this, I think, okay, so when you pray? Questions, right? Why do we pray? How do we pray? How often should I pray? What should I pray for? Where should I pray? How often? Out loud, quietly, all these kind of things. And Jesus says, well, first off, just don't be like the hypocrites. For they like to stand and pray in the synagogues and the streets. Again, he's kind of using some hyperbole, although it's not about posture here. All right? Throughout the Bible, we see people praying by standing up, by falling prostrate on their faces, by kneeling, lifting up hands, you know, all these different things. It's not about posture. Okay, there's no magic formula on how or the position I should be in, but it's the intent, the desire. What do you want out of this prayer? And for the hypocrites, it was, look at me, I'm a prayer. You know, again, it's so easy to point a finger, and Jesus uses this hyperbolic language to kind of poke fun at it a little bit, but I think we're not too far away from these sorts of things ourselves often, in our prayers or even coming to church, right? I mean, in our lives, there are some people who attend a Sunday service, not to come to the presence of a mighty God, but to be seen, to be known as, I go to this church. Look at me. I'm a good person. Don't be like them, because then you have no reward from your Father, right? In fact, that gaining of glory here on this earth is your reward. That's what all you'll get. So, don't be like the hypocrites when you pray. How then should we pray? What is the antidote to this turning the heart towards self instead of God? Well, he tells us, do it in secret. He said, go into your room, shut the door. Now, culturally speaking, you know, as I was reading, you know, again, I don't know much about the Middle East, but apparently in most of these homes, there's only like one room that really had a door. And it was like the storeroom. Little tiny closet, literally, almost. So again, Jesus is using some funny language, really. Be like, yeah, just go into your tiny little closet and be there, because your Father will hear you. And again, it's not about the posture, and it's really not about a prayer closet, right? The title of my sermon, prayer closet isn't really a place. It's your heart. It's your heart. Why are you praying? What is it you want in the prayer? And if it is to be seen, to make yourself look good, to earn favor, God's saying, well, no, do it that way. If literally, just put yourself away from it then. React and go the opposite direction. And in some ways, it can be literal. What did Jesus often do when he prayed? Went off into the wilderness. Went off into the garden. There is a time and a place sometimes to get alone. But we do it because we know that God hears us. That is the purpose. Now, again, my wheels start turning when I read things like this. Does that mean we shouldn't pray in public? I'll tell you what, if that's the case, the early church got it way wrong. All right? I was just looking in the book of Acts itself. Acts 1:24. And then they prayed and said, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen." They came together when they were trying to find and choose a 12th apostle. And what do? They prayed together, out loud, where everybody could see them. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. They were maintaining some of these traditions of prayer in the ninth hour. That's what you did. You went up and you prayed. And that's what they were doing. Acts chapter 4, in the early church. "And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, as though the mouth of our father David, your servant, and by the Holy Spirit." And they prayed together. They prayed. They prayed together. So, again, this is not about not having there being public prayer or things like that. Again, it's the heart. It's the motive. And this is a proper test of our motive, isn't it? For those, if you pray more in public than you do in private, you might want to think about what's going on. Why is it that's the case? I read a little quote here. The person who prays more in public than in private reveals that he is less interested in God's approval than in human praise. It's about our heart. It's about the heart. It always is. So, our attitude then is not for show, but for God. It's for God.
Right.
It's for God. All right. Now, what's interesting in this account in Matthew breaks away from the pattern a little bit here, and there's some, he adds a little more, or Jesus taught a little bit more, maybe. So we see there an extra. It says, "Don't pray like the Gentiles." Now, again, in the context here for a Jew, this is offensive as can be. Right? To even suggest that you do anything like a Gentile is ridiculous. And he says, "For they think to be heard from many words," a little like they babble. Now, in pagan cultures, you know, in deities, there was often the idea of trying to influence the deities in some way. You know, we talk about, right? Fear and control. Fear and control. That's what we want to have. And so they think that maybe if I just say a lot of things and say it really well and flowery, you go on and on and on in repetitions, that you'll wear the deities down. Or you'll get them to a place where you've put enough into the account of sacrifice and prayers that they will owe you, and then they will have to do what you want them to do. Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't. That is not what it's about. And the reasons why is interesting, isn't it? Your Father already knows what you need. You don't have to enlighten Him. You don't have to convince Him, "Lord, I really need this." He knows. He already knows. He knows you deeper and better than anyone. He knows what you need. He knows even maybe what I don't know. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Do you trust that God knows you like a father? Later on in chapter 7, we'll see Jesus teaching, if you ask your dad for some bread, you give him a serpent, you know, or a stone. If he asks for a fish, do you give him a snake? And he says, no. You know, and he says, if you, who know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who love Him and He loves? See, that's what it comes down to. What do you really believe when you pray? One of the challenging things I read this week in one of my commentaries from a guy named Craig Keener. He said this: because prayer promises the hearing of an advocate more powerful than any other. So think about that. Think about who you are praying to. The creator of everything can do whatever he wants anytime. So again, if that's the premise, if that's who we're praying to, an advocate that is more powerful than any other, it goes without saying that those who spend little time in prayer do not in practice believe much in a God who answers prayer. Ouch. Now, you know, some of you maybe, you know, seeing that there's going to be a sermon on prayer, could think to yourself, "Well, I know the conclusion of this prayer, right? Pray more, right? Pray more. That's the answer." Well, maybe. What do you believe, though? What do you believe? And then the question I have when I read this: if your Father knows you need before you even ask Him, if He's sovereign and all-powerful, as we've been like studying in our Sunday school time, right? What is God? Why pray at all? What's the point? I've had people ask me that question right to my face. Why? What good does it do? Does God change? Can I change his mind? Well, we don't think that. Why? What is prayer about, really? Well, I think there's three good reasons that I came across from a man named Wayne Grudem. Okay, so it's not my thoughts, but I thought they were good. And here's what I think it comes down to, okay? Reason one, why we pray. It's about trust. God wants us to pray because prayer expresses our trust in God and is a means whereby our trust in him can increase. We pray because we trust him. We pray because we believe that he is God and he hears us and he knows what's best. And he's asked us to pray. And so we do. It's about trust. Trusting in God as Father. We pray not because we think our prayer earns God's favor, but as an expression of our trust. A Father who already knows our need and merely waits for us to express our dependence on him. That's what he's waiting for. He's like, I'm here. Come to me. Come to me. Tell me what's going on. I already know. It's okay. It's like in confession. You know, you have a child and you know what they did. You know, something, whatever. You came across it. You found out. You discovered it. Someone told on, whatever. And you go to the kid and say, hey, got anything you want to tell me? Now, I could just come down and say, hey, I know what you did. Boom. But I'm concerned about their heart. I want them to be able to tell me and trust me as their father, be it something they did wrong or something that they want or need. I'm just waiting. That's what God, he wants us to trust him. A second reason is love. Prayer brings us into deeper fellowship with God. And he loves us and delights in our fellowship. Think about that. The God who made everything, the universe and all that's in it, wants to talk with us, with me. He loves us. And we love him. And think of it, in any relationship of love, I tell my wife I love her, but I never speak a word to her, what's that about? There's no growth there. We want to grow, and part of growing in any relationship is communicating. God speaks to us, we speak to him, we deepen our trust, and we do it in love. And third, in prayer, God allows us to be involved in activities that are eternally important. God has chosen in his sovereignty to do things through us. That is crazy and wonderful and awesome and scary and incredible. That in our prayers, the things that we bring to him and pray for, God chooses to work through that. So we can glorify and honor him. Then we pray, Lord, for someone to be saved, and they're saved. And we say, thank you, God, you did that. And I prayed for it, and it happened. God calls us to come right alongside him and to work for his kingdom, and part of that is prayer. The work of the kingdom is advanced. It glorifies God as showing creatures, us, created in his image, and showing the God of the universe in his glory. So, as we come to it then, as we think about our hearts, again, I don't know your heart, you do. So if you pray out loud in a prayer meeting, I don't know if you're doing it so we can hear you and think you're awesome, but you do. And we shouldn't shy away. Again, you know, one of the clues we should come to in this is, yeah, we should probably pray more, right? I mean, we should pray more. We should do it often. Like communication and love throughout the day. Are you thinking about, Lord, I was just thinking about this day. Hey, can you help me in this? I'm having a problem here. Or give me courage as I try to talk to this person. Or help me, Lord, to not get stuck again like I did Friday. Or whatever, you know, I mean, this thing. So do it often. Do it when you're alone. All by yourself, just talking to God. Tell him what's going on. Do it with others. Pray with each other. Do it silently. Do it out loud. Plan it. You know, so I'm going to pray now. Wednesday night, we have a prayer meeting in our house. Come. You know, it may not be every day, but we come together to pray together. And if you don't want to pray out loud, that's fine. You can join in. Or I thought about this. Or maybe just plan to pray at the same time as somebody. How awesome would it be? I used to have this friend of mine, and he lives in Nashville. And there was a time in our lives when, you know, we would just be, hey, so you know what? I say, hey, Kip, you know, I'm going to pray at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. You know, will you pray then too? And he said, yeah, I'll pray then too. Just knowing that somebody else is praying with you at the same time is encouraging and awesome. Pray immediately when something comes to your mind or someone brings a request to you. I mean, how encouraging it is. I love it when I say something. I got this going on this week, or I have a concern in my heart. And they say, hey, you know what? Before you go, let me pray for you right now. Over the phone. Pray for people over the phone. Pray for them face to face. Hold their hand. Put your hand on their shoulder. Pray in a letter. So Paul did. Read this morning in Ephesians. We saw it in Colossians. Yeah. I prayed for you today. And I pray this for you. Pray whenever. Pray confidently in God.
Amen.
I would love, again, as I think about us in this church, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, I love for people to think, oh, you know, that church, they pray. They pray. And that, you know, not just from here, from the pulpit or in our services or times when you normally pray, but just out there when you're with folk. You pray for another. I had the, so Friday, it was very interesting. Friday, I had this guy with me, and he's a young man, he's in mid-20s, and very spiritually curious. He's a very interesting guy to talk to. I enjoy it. But he's talking about a concern. He has a young son, and you know, from a girlfriend, and you know, he's with another woman now, and he's just concerned. I said, hey, you know, he's just concerned about how the kid's growing up and how he sees things. I said, hey, you know what? I'm gonna pray for you. And I said, hey, can I pray for you right now? Even as I'm driving the truck, he said, I'll keep my eyes open. Don't worry about it. So, and I did. I prayed for him. I said, hey, you know, Lord, I pray for Mike and his young boy, and I just pray that you would protect that young boy's heart as he goes back and forth between his parents and all these things, and pray for people right away. It's so encouraging. Even people you don't know. My wife encourages me in prayer all the time. She, every once in a while, she'll do things like, you know, just be in a park and talk with somebody, and she's a stranger, and say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? She's done that, and I love it. And I know these people are encouraged, and people are just like, you know, what are people going to say? You know, the very worst that could happen. I mean, the absolute worst thing that could happen is if you ask, you know, to pray for somebody that you don't know, is they'll say, no thanks. That's it. That's the worst thing that could happen. You know, unless they're insane, you know, but, you know, generally speaking, that's going to happen, right? They'll say no. But I guarantee you, almost always, people, they'll go, sure. Okay. They may even go, thank you. You know, people pray, okay? People in America, they do pray. They do understand that prayer is a thing. And we can show them how it really is and how it really should work. So I encourage you this week, your comings, your goings, your ins, your outs, your rising, your going down, to pray. What was our memory verse? Pray without ceasing. I don't know exactly how that works, but I just know that maybe I can just be more aware of it in my head, right? I can have a running conversation going throughout the day. I can, again, pray immediately with people out loud, silently, whatever it is. Let's be people of prayer, I guess is what I'm coming down to, right? Pray. You know, and it's okay. It's okay to pray that you do well on a test. Now, if you didn't study, you know, God could say, well, I'll help you out a bit, but maybe next time you should study. You know, but you can pray for those things. You can pray for others. You can, whatever it is, let's be people of prayer. Okay? Amen. Let me pray as we end our time. Father, again, we thank you for the confidence we have that we can come to you in prayer. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, we don't want to be like the hypocrites. We don't want to be like the Gentiles just babbled, God, but we do want to express our trust in you. We do want to show our love for you and grow in that love with you. We want to grow in our trust with you. And we want to be part of what you are doing in your kingdom here on earth. Lord, help us to be people of prayer in our comings and our goings and wherever we are. Stir our hearts to prayer throughout this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, in the power of your Spirit, amen. Go with God in prayer this week. Amen.